Good afternoon again, everyone. Nate Dickinson with you here on KATE 1450. It's a Monday, which means we're joined by Mike Grimm, who's on his way out to a lake house night in Lakeville, and it'll be a good one for him. It'll be a good one for us, too. But, Mike, I want to start by talking this week about kind of, again, what everyone's thinking about, the football season coming up and just what's changed over the course of the week. This morning, we had baseball and the Miami Marlins announced that they're canceling games, and it's obviously not great for the prospect of other sports, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to ask you kind of just where you're at and if anything's changed over the last week, too. I don't know if you've followed the Daily Gopher, but they do their SkyU podcast, and kind of in the bio of this episode lately, the latest episode was that they've kind of lost all confidence in that there's going to be any sort of college football this year. Where are you at?
Yeah, I've been kind of steady since early July when the article started coming out. I think there's some irony in it. At about the same time every other sports league was saying everything was good to go, baseball, hockey, basketball, MLS soccer, right after the 4th of July, it was, you know, training camp for NHL, training camp or summer camp for baseball. MLS was getting going with actual games. And while that was all happening, NASCAR was going, the PGA Tour was going, all these unnamed ADs and conference commissioners and presidents were saying it doesn't look good for college football. So obviously they have other, you know, we've talked about it. College athletics is a little different because they have other things going on. They have other things out of their control of just the athletics. They're not professionals. And then you've got the student body, you've got learning. I mean, the school is there for, you know, as a learning institution. And so will there be students on campus? And how will that impact athletics? And if there are no students on campus, can you ask the athletes to be on campus to do games? Now, I've heard some theory. Why not, right? Let's say that many of the Big Ten institutions say it's distant learning. But let's say the football players can be distant learning, but do it while they're around campus. And I have heard some people argue, and some even coaches say, that that's safer than if they were going back home, you know, to be under the guise of medical professionals on a daily basis, to be somewhat bubbled, although not completely bubbled. I think the optics are a little weird, and I think people would look at it and say it's a money grab while every other student is gone. Why are football players, you know, on campus? And so there's some problems there with it, and I think that's all part of it. I think it's the educational side of it, quite frankly, that is pushing the idea that it's going to be hard to have football. You know, the Ivy League, several of the Ivy League schools, including Harvard, already have announced that they're going to be distant learning. I think right now the plan is many of the schools will have kind of a combination. I think Wisconsin has announced that, where they're going to have some online classes, some in-person classes, and some of it will depend on the professor and the curriculum and the, all of those things. So it has varied a little, but I think it's really the same. This Florida Marlins thing or Miami Marlins thing certainly has not increased anybody's confidence. I do think this is, and the problem is you can't say stuff like this to someone thinking you're crazy, but baseball had an idea that this could happen. That's why they have 60 players in a camp. If a handful get it, you got to isolate, and if you have to cancel a couple or three games, you do it and you move on. Now, question is, did it catch other teams? Is it too much to go on? Is this enough in and of itself to just end the season? I don't know all of those questions, but if people thought that there wouldn't be people testing positive, then they should not have started the season at all. That just was, you know, it just isn't going to happen that there's going to be zero cases. And again, I've heard from, you know, both ends of the spectrum. Look, there are people, you and I are doing our jobs, right? Some of it's from home, some of it's out and about. You know, there's a guy that's working at Cub Foods, there's a guy working at Home Depot, the mailman's delivering the mail. Can baseball players work? That's their job. And there's so many, and I'm not endorsing any of it. I don't know the answer to that. People way smarter than me. But I do think this, that, you know, it can't be a zero case. I mean, if we're expecting zero cases, then we should not start a season because that's not going to happen. And, you know, if you expect that, look, there's going to be protocols put in place. If someone tests positive, they'll be isolated immediately. Anyone that's come in contact gets isolated and tested, and you move forward, then that's where you sit with that. And it's a hard, complicated situation.
To stay in kind of that vein of baseball, the MLB did a thing different than everywhere else where they're not going into the bubble. It was proposed to go to Arizona. The players didn't like it, so they're traveling around. And college football, it's not really a thing where you can have a bubble situation in any sort of way. If, say, baseball isn't able to work this out in a season, and basketball and hockey seem to be working in the bubble spot, does that success give college football enough to be able to say, hey, we can get this started, even if baseball has something go wrong?
Yeah, I think this is a good test case. I mean, if baseball tomorrow says the season's over, that does not bode well for football. If baseball works through this and 3 weeks from now the Marlins are going full steam ahead with games and things have been, you know, relatively back to normal, then that might work. But, you know, and that, you know, 3 weeks is probably the drop-dead date as to when you're going to have to decide if there's going to be a fall season or not. So, you know, I think we'll – I don't know what the day is. I mean, you know, students are already on campus at this point. You know, the athletes, I should say, are on campus. Football team's on campus. Basketball team's on campus. That's why I say some people, and again, I don't know enough to whether to endorse it or not, but there are some in college athletics who, look, if there is distance learning and students aren't on campus, there would be an opportunity to bubble the football team, basically. They would be on campus. Nobody else would be around. They'd live in their apartments and go straight to the practice facility and hopefully stay away from any public restaurants or bars or what have you and eat at the team training table. And so that's why some suggest that might be a solution. Again, the optics don't look great, and I don't know if they could pull that off without, you know, people looking. Look, they already are. They being the NCAA and college athletics in general, already looked at by many as, you know, you're exploiting people who aren't getting paid anything or very little, other than the cost of living. And then you got the scholarship, and you know, we've gone down that rabbit hole before. But people would look at that as a money grab and more exploitation. So I don't know if it can work from a how it looks standpoint. But I think some would consider that to be, a way that you could bubble it, at least insulate it more than you would if students were on campus. And again, I'm not smart enough to know the answers, quite frankly.
You mentioned like 3 weeks from now as being kind of the deadline to try and make some of these decisions. How quickly do you think we'll start to see the major conferences make these choices on football? Because they've made some choices as far as the lesser, I shouldn't say lesser, but lesser as far as money-making sports goes in the fall. But when do you think we'll start seeing at least someone making moves as to a football season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the latest anything could wait would be the middle of August, August 15th. And then you'd have to say, we're going to go full, I guess you could say the season's on and take it right up to, you know, opening kickoff. And if it doesn't look good, cancel the season. But if you have a pretty good idea that things aren't going to work, I would think they'd want to push it back to the spring or cancel it all together. I don't think they'll cancel it all together. I think if it doesn't look great for the fall, they'll try to figure out a way to do a spring football season and a spring basketball season, and hopefully the other sports come along for the ride. But I can't see any kind of decision in terms of moving it. Like if it looks like, hey, this is going to have to be moved to the spring. And when you say spring, you're talking winter still. It's just the spring semester. You know, I think a football season would have to start at the latest of, you know, late January, early February. And then you're talking about having to secure some venues of indoor venues probably to play some of those games, and probably without fans. But, you know, if those announcements are made, I can't think that you'd want to wait much past August 15th to start putting the procedures in place to secure places to play, to make plans for classes, to make plans for, practice. You know, are they going to practice in the fall and not play? Are they going to not be allowed to practice? Are they all going to have to go home? All those things would have to be decided upon. If they're going to play, they probably can push that off a little bit. Or if the plan is to play, and unless there's, you know, some disaster, then I don't know. But I got to think, at the latest, August 15th, that's just an arbitrary date I'm throwing out at the middle of August. and go from there.
As far as like the actual on the field stuff, like if there's no college football season, a team like Alabama is still going to be Alabama next year. A team that hasn't done so well is probably still going to be in the same spot. But the Gophers are in a unique position where they've been kind of on the rise and have some momentum going into this season. How could it affect a climbing team like Minnesota not having football this year?
Well, it could be devastating is probably too strong of a term, but it definitely could have a sideways effect. There was no doubt season ticket sales were going to get a boost. I think this team, and if they play, I still think this team can be really good. If there is no season at all, I mean, then every athletic department is going to be in a world of hurt from an economic standpoint. If there's no football at all, like not in the fall or the spring, I think Barry Alvarez went on record last week saying they could cost Wisconsin, in revenue $100 million. So, it's probably not going to quite be that drastic in Minnesota because Minnesota doesn't create as much revenue from a ticket standpoint. But, that's a big chunk of dough. So that alone will put a hindrance on it. And then, if you really want to dive in and take the deep dive and spiral down, you're looking at a guy like, let's say, Rashad Bateman. He is eligible to declare for the draft if he wants after this coming season. If there's no season, I think it'd be a fair bet to think that he's done. He'd be done from the Gophers. I think this was going to be his last season. He was going to declare for the draft and get drafted after this year. There might be a couple of other guys. If a couple of those offensive linemen bloom, Tanner Morgan has another great year. I don't know. I'm not a scout, but. So those kind of things would really hurt that you would, and then what do you do with the seniors, these guys that are their last years? Do they get another year of eligibility, and how does that impact the recruits coming in? So definitely could be an interesting impact. I think the sideways effect is you just lost all this great momentum you picked up if there's no season, season tickets, excitement, sellout crowds, and I think this team can contend for the Big Ten West. And who knows, if you contend for the Big Ten West, you can contend for a lot of important things down the road, come November, if November happens. So, it could have a devastating is too strong, but a dramatic effect, and it could be a sideways step instead of what you were hoping was a big giant step forward with the tone of the program.
Well, speaking of a guy like Rashad Bateman, he and Tanner Morgan were both named to the Maxwell Award list. I hope I'm saying Blaze Andres' name right. It was named to the Outland Award watch list as well, which kind of just seems like something that doesn't really matter all that much right now. I mean, is there anything for these guys to kind of get out of those things, given what's happening right now, and also given, like, with these watch lists, there's a whole bunch of guys who usually get named to them?
Yeah, I think that it shows that the program, even with this, is headed in the right direction. And I think when you and I talked even at the end of the season last year, when you had all these guys making all Big Ten, right? It was a pretty good list of guys. That indicates the program is on strong footing. That indicates, look, if you want to contend for the Big Ten West, you need players that can play in the NFL. And the Gophers had, what, five or six guys drafted. You need players show up in the All-Big Ten team, and the Gophers had five or six show up in the All-Big Ten team. And that hasn't always been the case. And so I think it does tell you when you get a number of guys on a bunch of these watch lists and a bunch of these postseason honors and all of that, that you're headed in the right direction. I consider that kind of a gauge. If you want to be a Big Ten West contender, you can't win the West. Like you might sneak up and surprise somebody some year, but you can't win the West without a bunch of all caliber players and a bunch of guys, over the course of 3 or 4 years that will slowly matriculate into the National Football League. Not all of them, but you need a handful each year. Wisconsin's done that. Iowa's done that. And Minnesota now wants to kind of follow suit. Obviously, on the East, you've got Ohio State winning it almost every year, and they have, the Gophers had, what, five or six drafted. Ohio State has five or six go in the first two rounds, and that tells you where they're at as a program. So that's kind of one of the gauges, kind of a way to look. And so if in the preseason you got a bunch of guys named to the watch list, and yes, you're right, that those watch lists are, what, some are 30 people, some are 50 people, and as the season goes on, there's some surprises and guys get added to those lists. But I do think it's a good measuring stick to show, look, all of a sudden there's guys on this roster that are showing up on these watch lists. It's a good indicator that this talent level has increased at Minnesota.
Mike Grimm joining us here on Kate 1450. Mike, before we let you go, I just wanted to kind of get your takes on everything that's going on with the Timberwolves right now, because Glenn Taylor seems open to selling the team. We've got ownership groups with Kevin Garnett coming in. Also, the Wilf family with the Vikings seems pretty interested. And I know you may not be insiders with any of those entities, but just as someone who's been covering sports in Minnesota for a little while now, what do you think would be like best for the Timberwolves? What do you think Glenn Taylor's thinking about when he decides to sell the team, aside from the fact that he wants it to stay in Minnesota, which he's made clear? Just the whole situation, what's your take?
Well, I'm interested by it. You're right. I don't have a lot of inside knowledge, but look, I have friends here in the market that cover that team extensively and intimately, and just talking with them or seeing what they're writing. I think it's a serious situation. Like, I don't think he's just fooling around. I think he's serious about trying to sell the franchise along with the Lynx, I suppose. And he flirted with some things, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, and then decided to hold on to it. The cynical Minnesota sports fan would say, good. That franchise hasn't had much success under Taylor's ownership. You know, they had a long playoff drought, and they've fired a bunch of coaches and messed up a bunch of draft picks. But they do have a good young nucleus of talent, a young coach that's trying to learn and trying to improve and kind of create a different culture than what this franchise has had. So, I think, again, the cynic would say, yeah, this could be good to get it into new hands and maybe some more innovative thoughts. I don't think it sounds like the Wilfs were called and asked if they would be interested, and it sounds like they maybe aren't from people I talk to and things I read, that it was a courtesy call. And that they've kind of said, yeah, thanks, but no thanks at this point. You mentioned Kevin Garnett. I think that creates some excitement. There's a couple of other groups that are interested. And Taylor has basically hired kind of a, for lack of a better term, kind of a search firm to vet this out and to find out, if there's interest, what the price might be. The one thing about it is the Wolves are one of the, and now they're still worth over $1 billion, which is a lot of dough, but they're one of the, in terms of overall franchise value, they're in the bottom, I think, 10% of the league or 20% of the league. They're not that clearly what the Knicks or the Lakers might be. So that might increase the number of potential suitors to buy the team. And as we've seen, this process takes a while. It isn't like, hey, we're going to, overnight, find a group and in 2 days this thing will get settled. I mean, it's got to be a league vote. There's got to be a lot of stuff involved. But it sounds like this thing is down the path a little bit, at least. And this isn't just a flirting situation as it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago that Taylor's serious about getting out from ownership.
Well, that's Mike Grimm here on KATE 1450. He's on his way out to a lake house as we got him in the car here on a Monday. But, hey, even when he's on vacation, he's more than happy to come out and talk sports with us here on Kate Radio. And we appreciate it, Mike, as always. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully there will still be baseball going on at that point. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's hope there is indeed. But, yeah, always fun. Thank you.